sustainability as a value, as a vision, is fantastic. You've got to be commercially sound. Of course, you have to be commercially sound. But you build a team who are fully engaged in what you're doing, you will be more profitable because they will be more productive.
You are listening to the Green Business with Impact podcast with your host, Jasper Steinhausen.
Hello and welcome to the podcast again. And if you are new to the podcast of Green Business with Impact, then welcome to all your new listeners here. It's one thing to transform your well-established company to become a force for good, with a great mission, clear plan, actions, and communicating all of this. But it's a completely other thing to actually grow it to create the long-term success. And that requires operational excellence, which is the theme of today's podcast. And the question is, of course, what does it actually take to achieve operational excellence, and what does it take in a sustainable company? As on the other episodes in this season, I've been out and trying to find somebody that really knows their ins and outs of this area in this term around operational excellence. And I'm really, really happy to bring to you today Marianne Page. Marianne, thank you and for joining us and welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here. Looking forward to it.
Great, great. And Marianne is really an authority on this place. You have published no less than 3 books on this, international best-selling books. One is called Simple, Logic, Repeatable. The second one is Process to Profit. And the last one is Mission to Manage. And then you're the founder and CEO of this small global business that focus on helping other small companies, well-established companies, to deliver operational excellence. So clearly a capacity. And I would like to just jump right in, but could you sort of have you set the scene a bit? And how important is operational excellence to a business success in today's world?
Certainly, I think it's important to define what operational excellence means. And to me, it means doing what you say you will, when you say you will, and to the standard expected. And it's really as simple as that. But of course, it's not always easy to deliver. It's not that straightforward to deliver. And my background, I spent close to 27 years with McDonald's restaurants. And of course, they are the backbone of their business is operational excellence. Yes, they've got the sexy systems too. They've got the marketing, you know, they've got the advertising, they've got the PR, all of that. But the backbone is operational excellence. And I think with every single business, an awful lot of the focus is what goes on out there. An awful lot of the focus is on, you know, we both talk about the program Key Person of Influence, and that is focused on, you know, becoming the very visible person, very visible business in your area, in your field. But when your customers experience you, there needs to be that operational excellence. And I think it should be the core of every single business. You know, people will come to you because of all your great marketing and everything that you put out into the world, but it's how they experience you that will determine whether they come back a second time.
It seems pretty straightforward, right? That one thing is attracting people, the other is really delivering and consistently delivering again and again. You know, is this the approach of the average company?
If only it was. Yeah. No, it's not really the approach of every company. It's for me, there are, because of my background with McDonald's have one right way to do everything. And it's their one right way. It's their right way of doing everything. And it's that gives them consistency. So every new person that comes into, whether it's a restaurant or whether it's into an office role, every new person is taught the way that things get done in that business. They're taught exactly how tasks are done. And yes, they can bring fresh ideas to, you know, keep refreshing the one right way. But there's an absolute consistency in terms of how things get done. More importantly than that, there are what I call sticky systems. So there is a great training system that makes sure that the one right way is taught consistently to every single new person that comes in. Then there is the development of that individual. And I do see training and development as two separate systems. You know, quite often they are training and development. They get bundled together. But you want to be training the individuals to do their job well, but you want to be developing the person so that they continue to grow. And I know you talk a lot about being a force for good. Part of my view of being a force for good is that you really help the people in your business to grow and develop and fulfill their potential. So training, development, and then, of course, your feedback system. They are the three sticky systems. A lot of businesses recognize that process is really important to deliver consistency. And they spend hours, weeks, months, sometimes years getting all of their processes together, and they document them all in writing. They stick them in a folder. It used to be a paper, you know, lever arch, if you remember lever arch folders. Stick them in lever arch folders. And then nobody ever looked at them. Nobody was trained in how to use them. And unless you've got really strong sticky systems, you're completely wasting your time developing your one right way to do everything.
I like how you sort of separate training and development and then system as the last part, but the training and development, because very often I see, and I think this is perhaps the most consistent trait of every company I have worked with, met, discussed, read about anything in this field for the last decade and a half, is that they all say that when you seriously engage in circular economy, sustainability, whatever sort of label it has, you really have a massive uptake in, well, both of all, how much talent you have managed to attract, but also how people enjoy going to work. So that people part, to me also, is one of the reasons why I really love working with companies on this, is because I can see that everybody grows and get a better everyday work simply because it adds meaning to, we produce shoes or whatever, which is nice and good, and we can be proud about our shoes or whatever, but now we're also doing something meaningful to make the world a better place. So I like that component that you emphasize that.
And it's make the world a better place one person at a time. So every individual feels like they are cared for as an individual. They are not just a number who, here, just do this task, right? That's it, go. It's, all right, how did you do this task? Think about the transferable skills. There are so many different ways that you can help an individual in your business to grow. And again, unfortunately, very often, that's just missed completely. You know, there is no training.
And especially in the bigger the company, I guess, the harder it is, right? Because you get all the layers of management and...
Yeah, it can be, unless all the layers of management are taught to think about the individuals. And I think that's where... If you build your business in the right way, for me, it's all about people. The systems only exist to make people's lives easier or better. There's no other reason to have systems. It's all about the people. And if you have the people listening to this, you're very focused on sustainability. So you have really strong values. You're caring individuals who want the world to be a better place. If you have those strong values and then you hire in people who share those values and don't allow anybody else to get in the door, it's like, just, you know, don't settle for anybody who doesn't share those values. Then you've started a movement then. And then if you show that you cared for these people, if you develop them, again, this, it just becomes, as the managers are evolve, as your business grows and the managers evolve out of the people you first hired, they share your values. So they will also develop the individuals as well as train the team. And it just grows and grows and grows. And that's, you know, it's McDonald's, rightly in many ways, gets an awful lot of stick. But one thing that people who work with McDonald's will always say is that they received fantastic development.
I was just a little bit curious to hear, again, back to your, both to McDonald's, but also the fact that you now work with smaller companies, but on these larger companies, do you see that, you know, one of the traits, I guess you could say, when you look at McDonald's is that every franchise is also a small group, right? So they build smaller tribes based on the same, of course, approach and learning and model and training and all of that. But is that part of the success? If you're a huge company, you need to break it down in chunks. And if you're a small one, you're lucky you don't have that challenge. But
yeah, absolutely. They refer to themselves as being multi-local because every unit is a unit in itself, in and of itself. But the systems that hold all of those units together remain the same. So in some franchise organizations, there is an awful lot more freedom for the franchisees to do it their way. I've recognized relatively recently that trust is the glue that holds a business together. But it holds a business to its customers as well as the leader to the team within the business. So I've talked to an awful lot of people who say they see the golden arches, particularly when they're abroad or whatever, they see the golden arches and they think, right, I know what I'm going to get there. I know I can take the kids there and it's going to be okay. I walk in, it's home. That's the sort of trust that is possible when you hold fast to your one right way of doing everything. You know, when your brand has one right way to do everything, when you hire people who share your values, but then you train them to follow your one right way, you give them feedback, you develop them as individuals. So the reason that brands become trusted is because they are consistent.
Do you ever get, perhaps especially, I'm guessing, the sort of very creative, could be the founder of a company or whatever, that has, you know, this popcorn brain that creates idea all the time. Do you ever get the feeling or the saying, somebody say, it sounds like it's very rigid, but where is the room for change?
Oh my God, Jasper, I get that all the time.
So what's the good answer?
Oh my God, but we're a creative business. We don't have systems.
So what's a good answer to that also in this changing world, right? Where we have to adapt faster and faster and faster. So how do we make this sort of interconnection between stability, operational excellence, systems and people and changing?
So the business about creativity is that in every single business, there's boring stuff to do. And if you don't have systems that are the foundation, then your creative people are sucked into the boring,
yeah,
the boring
kind of
stuff.
Shelfy.
And yes, they've got to, in every, in most creative industries, the creatives do have to do admin. But if you systemize it, if you make it easy, if you automate as much as possible, then they can be freed to do more. They can be freed to be creative. Every single business needs a bedrock of systems, every single one. And say you've got an architect who's going to design a house, there will be a method that architect goes through every single time in order to get to the point where the ideas are just popping. There will always be a method. There will always be things that architect does every single time. And it's just capturing those and allowing, quite often, somebody else to take that part on. You know, there is nobody And I do say this a lot. In fact, I used to give out redundancy letters to people at workshops, and say, you know, that said, you know, in 12 months' time you will be redundant in your business, and here's why. And it was, you know, it was signed by themselves. And it's basically, we are all replaceable in our businesses. Every single one of us is replaceable. We are completely unique as individuals, obviously. But in terms of what we do, we are all replaceable. There is somebody who can come in and do the job, not in exactly the same way that you would do it, but sometimes your customers will prefer the way they do it to the way you do it. So, you know, we are all replaceable. And I think an awful lot of business owners, I mean, let's face it, we are control freaks. We are complete control freaks.
In this small, closed space, you can say it out loud.
Absolutely.
It's okay.
Until we get control of our freak and allow others to grow, and until we start delegating the tasks that, they only want to speak to me. Well, they only want to speak to you because you're the only person they speak to. Allow them to speak to your great team member who does the job brilliantly. They will grow a relationship with them.
So does it mean that part of the operational excellence system side is flatten out the hierarchy and delegate more stuff? And so is that part of the operational excellence? And thereby you also get the flexibility for people to react, because it's people that react within a certain set of framework. So we know what game we're playing. We know what the rules are. We know when it's halftime. We know how many halftimes there are, and so on. And now we can react to the world. Is that where operational excellence deliver? I guess you could say that stability in a ever-changing world.
It definitely delivers people who can take ownership, but it also absolutely gives you the flexibility that we saw this in COVID so much. Oh my God. Elaine is off sick. She's the only person who knows how to do this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What are we going to do? Because the system, the task hadn't been determined as, you know, what's the one right way? What's the most simple, logical, repeatable way of doing this? And it hadn't been captured, and it hadn't been built into a training system. And there are so many good training system apps out there. I mean, I talk a lot, I think I was talking to you about Trainual. It's just a great app for building your training system role by role, capturing your how-to guides, capturing your how-to videos, so that if Elaine is off with COVID or any other sickness, or her child's sick or whatever, it's fine. I've got the how-to guide. All right, I see what needs to be done. I'm on it. I can learn it very quickly, and I can take over that task. And I think the other part, in terms of going back to your flexibility in a fast changing world. I look at McDonald's because, you know, I worked there for that long, and I see the way they have adapted and evolved and changed over time. And that is because they have a planning system. And again, it's another of the systems that gets forgotten about, like training, developing, and feedback. It's such an important system. They use something called the 3190, and it means that they look 3 years ahead and go, where do we want to be in these areas? Where do we want to be in terms of marketing and sales? Where do we want to be in terms of people, promotion, production, whatever, product, whatever it might be? And they go, right, where do we want to be in 3 years? Okay, if we want to be there in 3 years, what do we need to do in the next 12 months? Okay, if we want to be there in the next 12 months, what's on for the next 90 days? What movement do we need to make in the next 90 days? And it keeps them as a meerkat rather than a hamster on a wheel. They are constantly looking for what's coming, what can they do to prepare for it, what opportunities are coming, how should they be evolving? You know, those screens, which I hate, personal opinion, but those screens, you know, it's just part of a constant evolution, because they plan, because they, you know, every single 90 days they bring teams together from different parts of the business and go, come on guys, what's out there? What are we missing? Are we missing an opportunity? And they build on that. But it's a system. It's systematically evolving business.
when you have a well-established company. And typical situation when I come in, I have a business leader, the owner perhaps, that has this growing experience of a growing gap between where they stand personally on sustainability and where they stand professionally, because they don't know how to. The hard part is figuring out, how do I do it on the company side to align with my personal values? And that means that it's, you know, it's a bit of a transformational journey for them. And there are a lot of learnings on that step. So there's a lot of unknown territory. So when do you start thinking and implementing and building your operational excellence, both in terms of the training, the people development, and the systems?
Yeah, from day one.
From day one.
From day one would be the ideal. It's not the way it usually happens. What usually happens is that the founder will get a few people together, like-minded people, and they will just, they'll just go at everything. They'll make mistakes, they'll change, they'll adapt. But it's like, you know, four people around a table just having fun, really, just really building a business. What happens is, though, they become very successful very quickly, and then they start bringing in new team members, and that's when it really falls apart. But if you even as a one-man band, there are tasks that you probably only do once a year or once a quarter, and every time you go, how did I do that? Oh my God. And you just waste a lot of time. If you literally started capturing the way you do things from day one.
So do you start capturing the systems for the trial and error? Is that sort of your beginning point? Because you cannot systemize the process of the end result, as you're not sure what that is yet, but you can systemize how you work with the development part.
Exactly. To be honest, regardless of whether you're talking about a sustainable business or a regular manufacturing business or a service business, operational excellence is what it is. It's still about doing what you say you will, when you say you will, and to the standard expected. When you're talking about innovation, it's really all about, for me, it's all about communication then. It's really about having a communication system that, especially if you're changing to become a more sustainable business, it's about how you communicate with your people. And, you know, they may have bought into you as a business. Do they buy into sustainability? Because the sad truth is, not everybody does. There are so many, you know, naysayers. I think an increasing number of people think about the impact that a sustainable business can have, for good. But there are still those who don't. So, you know, thinking about inside, communicating with your team about what's going on and why it's going on, and then talking to your customers and finding out who's with you customer-wise as well.
Could you just break it down? I mean, you've written all these books. You've done work with so many companies on all of this, but I think I even posed the question at the beginning, like, you know, what does it take to foster operational excellence as a sustainable business? How do you do this? What are the steps? Is there a model? Is there a, you know, how do we do this?
For me, again, regardless of whether you're a sustainable business or any other type of business, it's exactly the same.
Yeah, great.
It starts with absolutely the core of this is the leader's values. 100%. It's the leader's values, what they want, the sort of business they want to build. Then it's about the people they bring in around them. Because if you know, with the right team around you, everything is easier. It's easier to grow. It's easier to build stuff. It's easier to get things done because an engaged team is way more productive. So you've got your values, you've got your people, you've got your process. Then you build your sticky systems, your performance systems that make sure that the one right way is followed every single time without fail. And then you look for consistency. Then you look for continuous improvement. And I think that's where McDonald's are just amazing. They are always looking to continuously improve.
And that will be the same whether or not you are the McDonald's size or the...
Oh, absolutely.
Which, you know, is, as you say, a global tons of smaller versions of it. Or if it's these 20, 50, whatever, 200 people company manufacturing somewhere.
It could be a team of one individual with a bunch of freelancers working with them.
Okay.
Because for me,
the same system, honest, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You treat a freelancer in the same way that you treat an employee as far as possible.
You should.
You know, apart from the way you pay them. You want to attract them in the same way. You want to treat them in the same way because you need the same result. So it's really that simple. But it is. It's about your values, bringing people who share those values and don't settle for anybody else. Give them one right way to do all of the basic stuff that frees them to be creative or whatever, but give them one right way to do everything in your business. Train them, give them feedback, develop them as individuals, and then maintain that consistency, maintain that evolution, if you like.
You also make it sound pretty simple, right? And you say, this is it, just it. Where does
it is
chain
simple.
Fall off? Yeah, I know, but apparently, and I think you answered that early on, it's not how business is done all around, right? So where does the chain fall up? What goes wrong? Is it that they are not clear on their values, or is it they hire the wrong people, or they don't train them, or they don't develop them, or they don't create the systems, or...
All of the above, Jasper.
Oh, great. Thank you.
In some businesses, it is simply that the values that the leader talks about are values that they've found on the internet. That sounds good. Why don't we have integrity as one of our values? Well, everybody has integrity as one of their values. It's like business 101.
What would be the alternative, right?
Yeah.
No, we are not.
Okay. Yes, we're not honest. We have no integrity. But really, really thinking about what are the lines that you as an individual won't cross? What are the things that really give you goosebumps or the way you want to operate your business? That's often the sticking point. That's often the first point of failure.
Yeah.
The second major point of failure, though, is bringing people into the team just to make up the numbers. Hiring to CVs, not hiring to values, not taking any notice of red flags at interviews, and going, oh yeah, but they've got such a great CV, let's bring them in. And then, you know, 5 years later, you're still talking about John, who's never been right. Oh, John, everybody hates working with him. Or you're taking John home with you and talking to your partner about John and what he did today. People settle for individuals who are not right for their business all the time, because the alternative is they have to go back and start the hiring process again, and they don't want to do it. They don't want to let somebody...
They're like a system for hiring.
It is about hiring right first time. And part of hiring right first time is running a really structured probation period that tests somebody out, that gives them all of the training that they need, but actually tests them. You can go into almost any business and you'll find a new starter who, oh yeah, we don't ask him to do that because he's just new. Has he talked to a challenging customer yet? Well, no, because he's just new. We don't want to. You've got to find out if these people can do it during the probation period. That's what it's there for. And that's how you get it right first time, because you can let them go after 3 months without feeling too much pain. But if you keep them on for 3 years, you're in a whole world of pain. And the rest of the team won't trust you anymore, because you won't get rid of the person who's spoiling their great team. And then they infect other people in the team. It's the whole idea of having the right people around you, making your life easier. If that was the only message I could get through to people, it would be life changing. It would be business changing.
Yeah, but I would say if I sort of have companies going through the full sort of process I work with, then the second step is actually the mission part, because in my experience, it sits well with what you've been saying, that it also makes it easier to hire the right people if you're really clear about, who am I? Why are we here, right? Well, we are here because climate change, to take something obvious that everybody knows, like, you know, we are really trying to make the world a better place and find a way where we can create products that, you know, the more you use of this, the better the world becomes. if this is your game as well, well, then come join us, right? So, and then of course you got to be awful good as a technician or whatever it is that you're looking for. But if you're not, if your thing is something else, that's perfectly fine. But please go find somewhere else then, because you will not be as happy with us, but you will be thrilled to go to work at our place, because everything we do to try to improve on climate change as well, right? And our customers, the ones that really found it highly important, they love us as well. So we have a majority of our customers who really feel this is important as well, right? So it all connects, right?
Yeah. It's a real circle of trust.
Yes,
it is. Real circle of trust.
Good way of putting it.
Because yeah. It's trust inside and outside of the business. And what the leader then has to do, you know, everything that you've just said, I 100% agree with. What the leader then has to do is be consistent in having said, this is our destination, this is what I believe in, that they actually don't go, oh yeah, but that'll cost us an awful lot.
Yeah,
of money.
Now it's so hard. You know,
Yeah. Otherwise, as soon as the trust is broken, it's broken, and it's really hard to get it back. Really hard. So having really being really clear about your values and your vision and your direction of travel, absolutely, you'll attract the right people in.
Let's just say you have a company and you want to strive for operational excellence. Would focusing in on becoming a force for good company, would that be a smart step if your end goal is operational excellence?
Absolutely. I would love every business to be a force for good, because, you know, I go back to what I said earlier about, for me, a force for good is making a positive difference to people's lives. And that's the people who work with you, the people you go home to at night, you know, if you're going home stressed because you've got this team that don't, you know, so it's all of the people that are affected by your business. For me, that is a business that is a force for good. So if you've got this fantastic vision to impact millions of people, oh my God, I love you. But the first people you need to impact positively are the people who work with you. And then it's just like grows exponentially. It's just amazing. It's a fantastic opportunity. You know, sustainability as a value, as a vision, is fantastic. You've got to be commercially sound. Of course you have to be commercially sound. But you build a team who are fully engaged in what you're doing, you will be more profitable because they will be more productive.
Have you got what it takes to make sustainability profitable? There's a simple way to find out, because I've made a quiz for you that you can take in just a couple of minutes, and that will give you a score and some guidance to what next steps could be for you to make it even more likely that you will make sustainability a profitable driver of your business. So it's free and it's simple to take. Just head over to greenprofit.scoreapp.com. Do you have any examples of companies that you work with or read about or something that you, or perhaps some a company that kind of everybody knows, a brand somewhere, where you would say that here is a company that has used their, again, force for good approach and vision to achieve, you know, the level of operational excellence and the kind of workplace that you're talking about is so powerful. Do you have any examples that you can share?
There is a business, you may actually know them, a business called Remote, who are run by a couple, and they started out as it was a great business. They're sort of software. They actually are the systems that overlay onto the sort of systems that I talk about. So I talk about developing your one right way, and then they come in and with this beast of automation, and they automate everything. But they had a team that was very much, they came into work, they did their job, and they went home. And then we you know, got to know each other. We started talking. I went in and talked to them about this type of business, this consistently trusted business. And they began to, there were two or three people in their business that they weren't sure about. They felt weren't necessarily bought into what they were trying to achieve. But they sat them down and they had conversations with them. And what they realized was that they had never fully shared exactly where they were trying to take the business. They hadn't fully shared the sort of values that they were looking to bring to the whole team. And while one person left, one of the three left, the other two were sort of it was like a road to Damascus moment. They were changed. They fully got it. And then they started hiring in people who again bought into the vision and the values. And recently they've just bought a new company. You know, it's not a great sledgehammer type result. It's not, you know, I could talk to you about, you know, the results that McDonald's have achieved all day, but when it comes down to little businesses, you know, even hugely successful small businesses, it's just small movements. It's just changes in thinking. It's changes in day to day, how people rock up to work day to day. You know, leaving all their crap at the door and coming in and being fully focused on doing good for their clients, doing good for each other, respecting.
Enthusiastic, I guess.
The great thing though, Jasper, in that sort of a team is that it's not all, you know, hugs and kisses and sweetness and light. It's quite, it can be quite confrontational because people hold each other to a higher, to higher standard. Yeah. You know, they hold each other to account. They don't let, the team don't let people away with shoddy work or letting a customer down, or and that's certainly what I've seen in that small business. It's a real it's that sort of goosebump giving moment when you realize the impact that these two running the business have had on this group of people and what they're able to deliver as a result of it. I talk a lot, and I know others do, about, you know, you've got to be able to look in the mirror first and say, okay, if this person is not working to my standard, have I ever told them that? If they're not operating to the values that I want our business to operate, have I ever sat them down and had that conversation with them?
Yeah. And actually made sure that I didn't fall in that sort of communication trap of, well, I've told you, yeah,
or I send you an email,
but often you, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I send you an email. You know,
have they ever actually bothered to make them understand what it is?
Yeah,
right.
Or understand from my point where they are struggling,
where they fit in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really appreciate that you've been sharing the thoughts, and what I really like is kind of like you say that, you know, long term success requires operational excellence. And then you say, to get operational excellence, it's really about people and systems and training, but especially people. And to get the right kind of people in and to get them enthusiastic about what you do, well, then, you know, the force for good part is really, really a strong driver for it, right? So it's there is actually this tight connection that I hope discussion that I've been seeing, but I would love to hear, you know, from you that's far more experienced on the operational excellence part than I am, but that they actually support each other. So that's really good. And I think for all of them listening here, that, you know, just keep on rocking and keep on going. Yeah. And then, you know, make sure that you build your people, build your systems, train them for it in, as you say, all pockets. So
See your training as a system.
Yeah, yeah.
Not separate to the systems. It is a system. Yeah.
And don't be afraid of systems.
No, don't be, no.
I think that there's a bit of a, I must say, I think there is a bit of a communication part that I know you have been honing for years, but how do you sell the system to people that hate systems, right?
So what I do is stop. I wrote that book, Process to Profit, and then discovered that I hated the word process because it shrank a little bit of my soul. It's just... So I stopped talking. Most of the time I stopped talking about processes or even systems, really. I talk about having one right way to do everything and capturing it in a how-to guide and usually a how-to video.
Yeah, I think those are far better word for this, and actually capturing the meaning in a better way, that we want that one right way, and we want to make sure that people use it, right? Because that's how we also keep our promise.
Yeah. So create a how-to guide.
Okay, I have this one question that I like to end with in this season. I know sustainability is not your core thing, but still from your chair, what's your assessment of the role of sustainability for the winners of the business world tomorrow?
That's a really good question. I just think with everything that is going on in the world right now, with everything that we're seeing, I think sustainability is going to play a massive role in the world. As I said earlier, I do think that there are, unfortunately, an awful lot of naysayers who see pounds disappearing out of their pockets if they support sustainability. But even if yesterday somebody was talking to me about, I said, "Oh, have you got any Black Friday bargains?" Said actually. Said I want to buy something. Can't remember what it was. She said, and they announced on their website, "We aren't putting any of our prices down for Black Friday, but what we are going to do is, I think it was plant 5 more trees for every order that we receive." And it was like, well, there you go, small thing. And it's always trees, and I just wish that they would water the saplings. But that's, you know, lots of trees are planted that never get watered. Just saying,
yeah.
But it's you know, when you have a business that is a force for good, and you as we said, you hire people who share that value, you get more you get more productivity out of them because they're more engaged. So you get more, you make more money, which you can then plow into greater, you know, innovation and greater,
yeah,
you know,
make it even better.
Absolutely, it's just you know, there has to be a commercial element to this. But if you focus on your people, you focus on operational excellence, you make a bigger impact. It's just a fact. You just will have more money to make a bigger impact. There is a movement. It's you know, it's growing very, very slowly, unfortunately, but there is a movement. And I do think that sustainable businesses, you know, just need to keep driving and pushing, and, you know, pushing us all in the right direction, because we need it.
Yeah, great. Well, let's end there. Thank you so much for your time. What do people do if they feel like, I need a little bit more Marianne Page here?
Oh, please.
In my life.
That would be lovely. And can I just say how much I've enjoyed this? It's been great fun. MariannePage.com is my website, so that's fairly straightforward. And if you want to contact me directly, then it's me@MariannePage.com. And I'd, you know, I'd love to hear from you. There are a lot of videos on YouTube, lots of tips and strategies and hints about how to get your operational excellence right, how to hire the right people, all of that. You'll find it on YouTube, but also on my website. So hopefully that helps.
Oh, okay, perfect, perfect. Love that you share it. So yeah, so for all of you, if you feel like, I think perhaps I could tighten my operational excellence a bit and get even more consistent and even better with delivering the best quality average that we can in every time, then, you know, please do dive in, check in Marianne Page and all of her content. So thank you so much for showing up, and for you out there to listening this, I hope this has been valuable. If so, please hit subscribe. And then I would just have one small favor, you know, could you, if you know just one person that you feel like, I think they would enjoy this, this episode would be something for them, then please do share this so we can get this message out to as many people as at all possible.
Thank you for listening to Green Business with Impact. Get more insights on circular business by visiting bwimpact.com and following Jasper on LinkedIn. Send your comments, questions, and suggestions. We'd love to hear from you.